Well, we've been sharing, I want to share today for a few minutes on our words, and we've been talking about this theme of no evidence, and we've shared a few messages, and of course, those are out in the lobby there. You can pick those up and listen to those. But as we're talking about evidence, you know, in any type of setting, you know, if you want proof of something, you look for evidence. You know, if you're in the medical field, you may go and, you know, those that are doctors and, you know, nurses and so forth, you know, they're trained to look for evidence. They're going to try to find proof of something that might be going wrong. Or a lawyer, you know, they're the same thing. Or a policeman, they're going to look for evidence to either prove that you did something or prove that you didn't do something, one or the other, you know, your guilt or innocence. So they're going to look for proof to determine the validity of something. And so as we, you know, talk about no evidence, you know, something, this is some a word that the Holy Spirit gave me a number of months ago. But when we talk about the blood of Jesus and all that Jesus did in redemption, he did so that he would remove every bit of evidence of sin and every bit of evidence of failure and weakness in our lives. So he removed it. How did he remove that? He nailed it to the cross. And it was eradicated. It was, you know, when they talk about somebody being freed in a legal setting or in a police setting or an incarceration setting, if you've been freed and you've, you know, they say you've been, there's no evidence that's going to be held against you, they eradicate it, they expunge it, they remove it. You can't find it. It's totally been eliminated from their system. And that's what in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 in the Passion Translation, it says, he, meaning Jesus, canceled out every legal violation we had on our record, is what it's talking about. And the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins and our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. That means if you went looking for it, you couldn't find it. And neither can the devil. He can't bring stuff. He may try and bring up, oh, I remember you did such and such. No, doesn't pertain to me. The blood of Jesus has eradicated it. It's removed, it's erased that which was held against me. And here's the other thing. What does 1 John 1 and 9 say? It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That means the blood of Jesus, even if you missed it, walking into this church this morning and you said, Lord, forgive me for doing that, for saying that, for thinking that, the blood of Jesus has cleansed you and eradicated it, can't find it. So when the devil tries to bring up something you did or said or acted on, you can do just like Brother Hagin. Ha, 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 ha. You can laugh at the devil because it doesn't pertain to you anymore. It's been erased. It's been eradicated, eliminated. Because why? Jesus became sin for everybody. Every sin that would ever be committed, he's paid the price for that. He became sin. So this goes on. It says, everything we once were in Adam has been placed on his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. So that means my sins have been canceled. I still need to ask for forgiveness. But once I do, and it's eradicated, the devil, he may try to bring it up, Why? To get you to talk about it, to question what God did through Christ. He'll try to get you to question whether or not, well, maybe he didn't forgive me. I don't feel forgiven. What has that got to do with anything? You may not feel like loving somebody, but when you do, you're acting upon the word, and by you acting upon it, you're saying to God, I walk by faith and not by sight. I walk by faith in the word of God and not how I feel. Just because I feel a certain way doesn't mean anything. So we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 4:13 in the Passion Translation says, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith. So we also first believe, then speak in faith. So we have to first believe, then we speak. That's usually the first thing that we do once we believe something. You know, just in life, you believe something, you're talking about it, you speak it. So faith must be released in our words. Faith, as we were speaking the last time we were here, I believe we were speaking, faith speaks the outcome. Faith must announce the outcome, and faith does announce the outcome of things not seen. And so leading into that, Hebrews 11:1 in the King James, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence. So when we talk about no evidence, the only evidence, it said it's the evidence. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So the only evidence I really need is the evidence of my faith, evidence of something not seen. So once that which is not seen is received or manifested, well, then faith for that is not necessary anymore. So the evidence that we're talking about, the evidence of things not seen, is what? My faith. And so substance, this word substance means the support under which it undergirds or supports that which you expect. You know, when you come in here and I go to sit on this chair that you're sitting on, you expect to be supported. I sit down, I expect to be supported. I don't expect to fall through the chair. Or I don't expect the floor to not be supported by this concrete floor. So the chair is undergirded or supported by the floor. And so that's what this word substance means. It means confidence or assurance, but it also means setting under or support. It means the support for that which you expect. Well, what is that? If I'm expecting something, if I expect to be healed, by his stripes I have been healed, and I'm expecting that, what's the support for that? God's word. And what comes from God's word? Faith. That's what we're talking about. Now, faith is the substance that which supports that which I expect. So I'm expecting to be healed. What supports that? My faith. Faith in God's word. And it's the evidence of that which I don't have yet. That's so exciting. This is the Passion Translation. It says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation. the ground, the support, the foundation that supports the house, that supports the chair. It's the foundation. Faith is the foundation that supports that which I'm believing for. So this is what it says. Now, faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes. So it does two things. It brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It's all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. So if somebody says, show me evidence that you receive healing, the only evidence I need is my faith. Well, prove to me, you know how they do, prove to me that you're healed. Sure don't look healed to me. You sure don't look blessed to me. You sure don't look like you got any money to me. The only evidence required is my faith. Well, you know, people in the world are going to go, yeah, right. Because they don't believe. But for me, the only evidence that's needed to prove that which is unseen is your faith in God, faith in His Word. Just like what Brother Hagin did. I just laughed at the devil because I don't have to get something that God already got for me. I already have it. I take it and receive it. So these charges that were against us were deleted. They were erased. So there's no evidence. But here's an interesting scripture that I like this. It adds a little more support here. Matthew 16 and verse 19. Matthew 16 and verse 19. And also we're going to look at Matthew 18, 18. But Matthew 16 and verse 19, and I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. It says, now this is Jesus speaking. Jesus is speaking here. He says, I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm. So Jesus is speaking here. He's saying, and again, if you look at the context of this, Jesus is speaking. Peter, he said, let's just turn over there real quickly, Matthew 16, so you can just see the first few verses before this. But, you know, we're familiar when Jesus said, and Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's verse 18. But verse 16, well, he's speaking back here. It says, Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this truth, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now look what he goes on to say. I'm reading it in the Passion. I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm. Whew. To do what? Listen to this in the Passion. To forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. What did he forbid What's forbidden in heaven? Sickness and disease, poverty, worry. So he's saying, I've given you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid that which is forbidden in heaven. That's what Jesus did. He would get with the people and he would forbid sickness in the bodies. It was forbidden. He would release, he'd say, my peace I give to you, my peace. He would speak peace. So for us, this is where we need to grow too. We need to walk in this authority that God has given us and to begin to forbid things instead of talking about it. We spend too much time talking and complaining about problems instead of forbidding them and commanding them to leave and to change. And so look at Matthew 18:18. In the King James, it says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In the Amplified, it says, whatever you forbid and declare, see this word forbid again, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. Listen to this. This is in the contemporary English version. It says, I promise you that God in heaven will allow whatever you allow on earth. It says, he'll allow whatever you allow on earth. And it says here, but he will not allow anything you don't allow. So, excuse me. So a lot of times, people are wondering, even hear him say it, why is God allowing this to continue? Because he's given us authority. He's given us the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid what's already forbidden in heaven and to release what's been allowed. And people are complaining to God, why is God allowing this? Because we're allowing it. So either we're going to have to get into agreement with someone else and say, let's pray about this and let's do what? Where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. When two agree and do what? Pray against something, speak to something. Well, that's why a lot of times the devil hates families, because look, what's the perfect person to get an agreement? Your husband or wife? Get an agreement about something. Stay in agreement. The devil has no option. It has no place to get in the middle of that. But the point being here that we need to forbid things that are not allowed in heaven. If sickness and disease has been paid for, if our prosperity has been paid for, God has put in place the laws of seed time and harvest for us to be blessed. So we need to walk in those benefits. And this word keys in Matthew 16:19, it says, I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid. That word keys is authority. That's what that Greek word is. It's power and authority. He's given us the power and authority in him. What did the centurion say? Think about the centurion. Where is that? Matthew chapter 8, I think. Yeah, Matthew chapter 8. There, you know, the centurion, what did he say? He said, verse 9, he told Jesus, just speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. He said, for I am a man under authority. What did he say? He said, I'm under authority, having soldiers unto me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and doeth, and he doeth it. He recognized, just like he's under authority, Jesus was also. He said, I don't do anything unless I hear my Father give me direction or show me. So we have a head. His name is his Father God, and we are the body. So he has, before he left this earth, he said what? You speak to these things and change them. You command them to change. That's why it hurts when I hear people say these things like, I just don't know, it's so hard, it's this, it's that. It's hard for you. You've just opened the door for the devil to make it hard for your life. Now, it may take a while to correct things in your life, but the devil can't stop it. He cannot stop the blessings of God. If we will just be determined to speak God's word and believe it. Glory to God. So let's take I'm going to take a quick look here. Proverbs 10. And look at a few Proverbs here just for a few minutes. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11. It says, the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 12, verse 6. Proverbs 12 and verse 6. Just go over a couple chapters. It says, the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The mouth of the upright will deliver them. In that same chapter, just a few verses, Proverbs 12 and verse 14. It says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. That word recompense just means reward or benefit. So what does that mean? The benefit or reward of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. The Amplified of that verse, it says in Proverbs 12:14, says, from the fruit of his words, a man shall be satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hands shall come back to him as a harvest. Isn't that interesting? So it says, the work of a man's hands shall come back to them as a harvest. So just the same way that the fruit of your words of a man shall be satisfied with good, it says the fruit of a man's hands shall come back to him as a harvest, or the work. Joshua 1:8. Says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You know, so this law here is still in effect. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, didn't redeem us from the blessings. So the blessings are still available. What do we do? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to meditate in God's word, get it in our heart, speak it, meditate on it day and night, keep it in our hearts, and do what? Speak it. Observe to do it. It says, for then thou shalt make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. You know, tell a little story, you know, just last Sunday I was out to dinner with some folks from the church, a couple, and we went down to Newark to have some food, and they were just sharing that, you know, this was a relative's restaurant. And they were in partnership with another, the two sisters had a restaurant. So the ones that the just before COVID hit, about a year before, the one sister said, you take the restaurant, I'm going to open up another restaurant. So she gave the restaurant to the other sister, and she started another restaurant. The thing that just broke my heart was that the one sister that she gave the restaurant to, she was, and nothing wrong with being clean, but she was over the top. She was almost germ phobic. You understand what I mean? She was just phobic about germs. And she said to the sister that gave her the restaurant, she said, one day you're going to die because you don't clean yourself, you don't clean your hands enough. You're going to die from germs. So that's what she said to the other sister. Talking about words now. That sister passed away from COVID-19. I'm not saying, but when I hear stuff like that, I go, what did you open your mouth up to when you started saying that to your sister? Say, you're going to die from germs one day. And I thought, you don't know what you're opening yourself up to when you judge someone. Judge not that you be not judged. You know, these spiritual laws that we have to work will work for you or against you. You know, in this little mini book that we handed out when Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin back in the 50s, this was the last time he appeared to him this way. When he appeared to him, he said, this is the last time I'm going to lead you in this way and teach you. He said, the primary way that I lead my children is through the inward witness. Just a sense. That's the primary way. Not that he doesn't lead us by the still small voice. Sometimes he'll appear to you. So if he has, wonderful. If he hasn't, doesn't matter. He chooses to do that. But this was something he said in here that was significant. He's talking about the woman with the issue of blood. And he was talking about these four steps that he gave. He said, in my vision, Jesus said, positive or negative, it is up to the individual. According to what the individual says, that shall he receive. He said, this woman could have made a negative confession instead of a positive one. And that would have been what she received. Not that God didn't love her, but she will have what she says. And we will have what we say. She could have said, there's no use for me to go, talking about go to touch Jesus' garment. I've suffered so long, 12 years I've been sick, all the best doctors have given up on my case. I've spent all of my living upon physicians. I'm not better, but growing worse. I have nothing to live for. I might as well die. This is what Jesus said. He said, if that had been what she said, that would have been what she received. But she did not speak negatively. She spoke positively, for she said, if I touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And it came to pass. So why am I saying that? You know, when I heard that story last week, I just said, oh. I said, no, she didn't say that. He said, yeah. I said, now we don't know. But when you hear stories like that of somebody making those kind of statements and then something negative happening to them, when they said, you're going to die because you don't clean your hands enough. And I thought, Don't play that way with words. Because this woman had gotten, she was so phobic, which everything had to, she wouldn't touch, you know, without cleaning something. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but when you're in bondage to it, and then you start to believe that, and you start speaking words, you open doors to things that you don't realize. Because you're saying it in faith. Because you've lived it every single day, year after year after year, and you believe it. So when you say it, it has force and power. It's not just, you know, you say something random. It's the continual speaking of something that you begin to believe. And when you speak it, it comes to pass. Positive or negative. So we need to be aware of that. We need to be, you know, watch our words. And the words that we speak... I'm just going to say this in kind of wrapping up, that your destiny, or I'd say it this way, reaching your destiny is connected to your words. Whatever your destiny is, reaching your destiny is connected to your words. And so whatever God has got planned for you, you've got to connect that to your words. Some of us, he's given us specific thoughts or ideas, or he may have shown you something. And even if he didn't show you something, if you've got the word of God, then you can speak the word of God and it will come out well. It'll come out well for you. What does the scripture say in Psalm 91? Let's just go over there. Let's see what David said. Let's just share here as we're going. Familiar psalm. But look what David did. Look, this is David speaking. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then what does it say in verse 2? I will think about it. I will think. No, it says, I will say of the Lord. And this has something to do with your destiny of being blessed. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. when in the hard times, in the tough times. He's my fortress. He's my God. I'll say, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler, for thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Now that doesn't mean we're foolish, but you don't have to be afraid of a disease. You don't have to be afraid of COVID-19. You don't have to be afraid of it. Does it mean we do natural? Yes. But you don't have to be in bondage and fear like the world is. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and young lion and dragon shalt thou trample underfoot, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, saying something, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. But we've got to say something. We've got to be the ones to release our faith with our words, saying, the Lord is my strength. He's my helper. He's my refuge in times of trouble. He's my refuge every day. I trust in him. He protects me, protects my family. He protects everything I own that he's given me and blessed me with. He protects me. I honor him. And when we do that, he will. Glory to God. So we need to just watch our words. That's really what we're saying today. Watch our words. Be aware that just like anything else, the more you say something, you may not believe something that you say initially. But if you keep saying something, over time you'll begin to believe it and you'll begin to open a door, positive or negative, to you. So that's what we need to just be conscious of. Again, your destiny is connected to your words. Your destiny is connected to your words. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that it is life to us. Thank you that you've given us the means to be blessed. You've given us the means to be saved. You've given us the means to be healed. You've given us the means to be prosperous. And you've given us your word, and you've told us to meditate on it day and night, observe to do it. Then we will make our way prosperous. And we'll have good success. So, Father, I thank you. And we bless you this day. And thank you for your word, which is full of power and full of life. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God.